Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 21st year now bringing these good messages to you. And we hope you enjoy them. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And if this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. And we hope you also come back each and every Sunday. We thank the Lord for this day. We're going to have a good message today. It's called Salt and Light. And this is a message the Lord has burned into my heart to prepare the body of Christ for the days ahead. There's going to be difficult days ahead. And the fire of the living God is going to preserve this nation. The salt of the living God is going to preserve this nation and preserve the body of Christ here in America and across the world. And so if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew chapter 5. We'll start there. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get to the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on in Kenya. We have a good school project going on there on an acre of land right next to the children's home, and we're going to be bringing in 200 to 300 village children and teach them the basics of education up to grade 8, and then also we're going to be sharing the gospel with them, telling them about Jesus. And this is a significant project because many of the children coming will be of other faiths besides the Christian faith. So it'll be an opportunity to share the gospel, tell them about Jesus. They'll hear things they've never heard before. And so it's going to be an opportunity that we can't pass up. God has opened the door for us with the purchase of the land, with the provision to get started. And so we invite all of you to help us with this project. If you have any questions, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. And I'll fill you in on details, get you more drawings of the construction. Anything that you have questions about, we'll get you the answers. And so we invite you to participate in the building of this primary school. Well, today we're going to be talking about salt and light, and this is a big subject, and it talks about being witnesses for the kingdom of God in whatever area you're in. If you're in the Norton area, if you're in Long Island, if you're in Phillipsburg or Clayton or wherever you're at, be a witness for the kingdom of God, because God has put you on this earth and kept you on this earth to bring glory and honor to Him. And that is your purpose. Once you're saved, God doesn't just take you up to heaven the minute you are saved. Your work isn't over then. Your work is just starting in the kingdom of God. And you have been designated to be a warrior, a carrier of the light of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here. In the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about your place positionally, and not just positionally, but also your place naturally in the natural world. We are not of this world, but we can minister to this world. We're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. We're of another world, and our home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. But at the same time, we have to live here on this earth. We have to live in whatever town, whatever family, whatever community that you're in. And God has a plan for you to help change that community for the kingdom of God. And one of the reasons God is putting this message on my heart at this time is because the midterm elections are coming up soon, and we're going to have a very important election here in the United States of America, which will have a profound effect, as all elections do, but this one will have a profound effect on the direction and the destiny of the United States of America. And there are many voices out there, even coming from Christians, that say somehow we're not supposed to get involved with the elections, we're not supposed to get involved with politics, which is nothing more than just policies and the laws of the nation, which is important to God. And the policies and the laws of the nation are important because God wants to see this nation come to Him to write the laws, come to Him so that the Ten Commandments continue to be the basis and the foundation of the laws here in America. And God wants to see the people come to Him to be able to worship freely and to carry out the mandate for which this nation was founded. And you know, the United States of America is the greatest missionary sending nation on the earth. My life is a testimony of that, but many others have gone before me, and by the grace of God, many others will come after me. But this nation is a very peculiar nation on the earth, and it was ordained and founded by God to be a missionary sending nation so that the glory of God could be revealed not only here but to people in every corner of the earth. And so that's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 when he starts talking about salt and light. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. You are all familiar with that. I'm sure some of you have parts of it memorized, but the Sermon on the Mount was a sermon, probably the most comprehensive sermons that Jesus gave in his time on this earth. It's red letter for three or four pages in my Bible. And so Jesus is speaking to the multitudes and giving them a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like here on this earth. And these are people who had no idea about what was coming in their life in terms of the Holy Spirit being poured out. They had no idea how they were to interact with the Roman culture around them as believers. And so Jesus is giving them pictorial descriptions of what they are to look like, and it's applicable for us also in this day and in this time here in the United States of America. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Well, that's a rhetorical question. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? The answer is it can't be seasoned. Once the salt loses its flavor, then it has no value. You wouldn't take salt that's been out in the rain for weeks or months and try to flavor your soup with it. It just wouldn't work. You would have no salt flavor. And by the way, everything on the earth craves salt. Your cattle crave salt. The sheep up in the Rocky Mountains come down into the valley and they crave salt. They come down to lick the salt licks there around the valleys in Estes Park. And so everything craves salt. The Kenyans children, they get a salt shaker and they just want to dump salt on their chips, and it's kind of comical to watch them because the parents eventually have to take the salt shaker away from them. But salt, Jesus represents himself and the message of the gospel as salt, and it is to permeate the whole soup. It's to permeate the whole bowl of soup. And so Jesus said, if the salt has lost its flavor, it's good for nothing. Christians, we're supposed to keep our salty flavor and salt the culture that we are in. Well, how can we do that when there are some Christians, even born-again believers, saying, well, you can't get involved in the culture. You have to stay in your cave. You can't speak in the marketplace. You can't speak in the political arena. You have to stay in your cave. Maybe it's okay to go to your church once a week and then head back to your cave. Make sure you got plenty of water stored up. And that's what your position is in the culture. We're to separate ourselves. Yes, we are to separate ourselves. Come out from among them and be you separate. You don't go down to the bar by yourself and try to preach the gospel to a bunch of people who are drinking and that's all they've got on their mind. That would be a foolish thing to do. But to go into a place that is dark, full of darkness, to go in with another witness or two or three witnesses, that's okay. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to go into the places to share the gospel. So it's okay to go into dark places if you have witnessing partners with you to hold you accountable, protect you, pray for you, you pray for them. But the salt has to go into the dark places. The salt has to go in to the soup that doesn't have any flavor. The salt has to go onto the chips that don't have any flavor. And so that is God's will, that we permeate and saturate every aspect of the society that we live in. And praise God, we have the freedom to do that here in the United States of America. We have the freedom to speak out over the airwaves, over the TV, and in other places, in the churches. We have the freedom to speak out the good news of the gospel, not only the good news, but the warnings of the gospel, the judgment of the gospel. We can't just talk about the love of God and not speak about his judgment, because heaven is real, but also hell is real. And so we have to preach the whole gospel. Do you know, beloved, there are passages of scripture in the Bible sitting in front of me, the Bible that I'm reading from today, there are passages of scripture that cannot be preached on or taught on the radio or talked about on the radio in the country of Canada, our neighbor to the north. I would be arrested preaching about some of the things that I preach here in the United States. And so our salt has to go out. Jesus says, we got to keep our flavor, we have to keep our salt. And so that is what he's telling them. You have to keep your seasoning, you have to keep your flavor. And so I'm going to ask you, Christians, is there any way that you can salt the soup and only have it go in half the soup? No, that's a pretty foolish idea to think you can only salt half the soup. So why do we want to stay out of the direction and the policies and the writing of laws here in America? The answer is we don't. God wants us to write the laws. God wants us to have impact here in the political arena. And that's just part of being a believer in the United States of America. And I guess if you don't like that, the best place for you to be would be in a Muslim country or communist country, where you would have, as a Christian, you would have actually no input, no opportunity to write the policies of the land or to speak about the policies of the land. And even your vote in those places, if you're allowed to vote, would have no impact. We have even nations in Africa where the winners of the election win 97% of the vote. Imagine that. Very, very popular people. Well, the truth of the matter is, the vote there is a sham. The truth of the matter is, your vote has no significance. It has no impact on the direction of that nation. And so we have to keep our salt salty. We have to keep our flavor salty. And that's what Jesus is saying. Let your salt go into every part of the soup. Then he goes on to say here, talking about light in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Then he closes this talking about the light. He says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so we let our light shine wherever we go. You'll remember that little song that we used to sing when we were growing up. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So that is God's plan for you as a born-again believer. wherever you go, you let your light shine so that other people can see your good works, see your glory, see that light coming out of you, that your light will be a witness and a testimony to the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And Jesus says, when you light a light, you don't put a bushel basket over it. And so I'm going to ask you, is there a way when you turn on the light, and if your light's in the center of the room, which most of us have at least one light and some several lights in the center of a bigger room, is there any way when you flip the switch on that light to keep the light out of one corner of the room and only let it shine in the other three corners? No, I don't think there's any way to do that unless you put some kind of a barricade over that one corner. And so God's will is that you let your light shine everywhere you go. Let your light shine in your workplace. Let your light shine with your family. Let your light shine in the political arena. Let your light shine in the business arena. Let your light shine in the media, the arts and culture, entertainment arena. Let your light shine wherever you go. I remember back quite a few years ago now, this movie came out called Facing the Giants. And it was the first Christian movie, really of much significance, that had been out for many, many years, maybe 15 or 20 years. Remembering back to my earlier days, there was a movie called Ben-Hur that was a very important movie, and the Ten Commandments depicted real-life scenes from the Bible, similar to The Passion of the Christ. But Facing the Giants was a very significant movie because it was a low-budget movie, and it was made by people, they actually weren't in Hollywood, they came from Georgia, and so these people produced this low-budget movie that had a tremendous message and a tremendous impact on people all over the country. And I thought at the time, wow, this is great, the light of the kingdom of God, the light through these movie makers was going to penetrate into homes, not only here in America, but all across the world. This movie was a very significant movie in the advancing of the kingdom all across the world. And so Jesus says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Beloved, some of the people who look at you and who watch you and see what you're doing, the only Bible they will ever read, and this is especially true for Muslims, the only Bible they will ever read is watching your life and seeing your life, see how you conduct yourself, see how you give thanks for the things you have, and that is your light shining. And when you do good works, whether it's start a Bible study or go feed the homeless, or in our case over in Kenya, we're building a nice big school for the children of Makunda Village. And so when they see our good works, and we employ people of other faiths over there, and we let the Muslims come in because we have many in the village around our children's home, and we have a beautiful spring there, we let them come in, fill up their water jugs, and sometimes when they're building mud houses, they come and they haul off lots of water, and it's all free. We don't charge them. We let everybody have free water to build up goodwill. We want them to see the good works that come from us, that emanate from us, because we know Jesus Christ. We have love. We have compassion. We take in children off the streets of Mumias, Kenya, and Kakamega County, Kenya. We take them in. We don't care about their background. We don't care where they came from. And in many cases, we don't know where they came from. But we take them in, and we show them the love of Christ. We pay their school fees. We pay their medicine. We pay for their food, their clothing, all the needs that they have. We pay for it because we love them with the love of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said in John 8:12, And this came about immediately after he spoke to the crowd of the lady who was caught in adultery. I'm sure you all know that story where the lady was caught in adultery. And Jesus told this lady, neither do I condemn you. And then he told her, go and sin no more. But he continues to speak to this crowd that was gathered there, men of the village. And he said to them, John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so Jesus was telling those men of the village there, I am the light of the world, and this is the reason that I came, was to show my light to these people, to show my light not only to the people in Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee, and all the places where Jesus walked, but his light eventually shown to people all over the world because of the cross, because he went to the cross and he came to fulfill his Father's plan for the sins of all mankind. He came to go to the cross, shed his perfect, precious blood on the cross, that we, even here in the United States of America, that we in Kenya, places all over the world, we can come to know the light of Jesus Christ and our sins can be forgiven. Beloved, if you have never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I want to look to you as my Lord and as my Savior. I want you to direct my life. Give me wisdom for my life. Jesus, I want you to be the light of my life. I receive your light into my heart. If you'll do that today, beloved, that is the start of your Christian walk. That's not the end of it. That is the start of it. That's when you start to be salt and light in the world, and you can then go forward in the power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can speak for Jesus. You can speak the words of the gospel, and they have the same power coming out of your mouth as they did out of his. And you can say, Jesus is the light for people wherever God takes you, into the darkness. And you don't know where he might take you. If you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Or if you pray, Lord, show me your way. You don't know where he might take you. And so you be ready to share your light. You be ready to do good works. We're not saved by our good works. We don't do good works with the hopes that we do enough that we receive salvation. No, our salvation comes from our confession of faith, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Jesus, follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and then you can let your light shine and you can let the Lord direct your steps. Your steps will be established and directed by the Lord Jesus, and you will then be able to let your light shine wherever God sends you. Well, John 9, verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, he's no longer physically in the world, but his light still shines because of the cross, because of the resurrection. His light still shines. And this light was part of God's plan from the beginning. I'm going to go here to John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And verse 4, John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, beloved, that light is Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, Jesus wasn't God. No, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, Jesus Christ, was with God in the beginning. He was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. The Trinity, they were there in one accord. They were there in complete agreement. And in verse 4 again, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him. verse 9, then the Jesus was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Every single man that comes into the world, you have a choice to make. You can choose the light, or you can choose darkness. The Bible says that people love their sin. John chapter 3, people love their sin. They reject the darkness. They're proud of their sin. They're proud of their rebellion towards God. And we have that even today going on here in the United States. The pride of people who reject the light of Jesus. They love the darkness more than they do the light. And so they continue to walk in the darkness. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in the darkness, but you will have the light of life. Well, beloved, I hope that is you today. I hope you're not walking in the darkness. I hope you're choosing the light and you choose Jesus. I hope that you choose Jesus for your life, that you repent of your sins, you come to him and you say, Jesus, I want to make you the light of my life. And this is so important, not only for us individually, but it's also very important for us as a nation that we continue to seek the light of Jesus Christ. We continue to trust God for the direction of this nation. Our Bible teaches us that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's speaking of every nation, not just the United States of America, but this nation is a unique, very peculiar nation because it was ordained and established to carry forth the light of the gospel, to send missionaries, and to speak the truth of the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel. And beloved, if you embrace that light, if you follow that light, you will not walk in darkness. You will walk in that light, and that light will come forward from your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank you for those of you who have supported this ministry, those of you who tune in and also send money of support. And we invite all of you to support this ministry. We thank God for the continued support over the many years, 21 years now, as a radio ministry. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can also go to PayPal with your debit or credit card, paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. And you can also check us out on Facebook, see all the pictures of the ministry, the children's home, and the construction of the school at facebook.com/Jim Rao, and check out pictures of the ministry. Thank you again for listening. We'd love to hear from you today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.